What's going on? Everything's normal here. Everything's absolutely the way it should be. What's going on? Oh, I shouldn't be so suspicious. Maybe it's just a good sign. We've finally returned to normalty. Yes, I know I should say normal C, but normal C, people don't think that's a real word. So if they don't think it's a real word, you might as well use another word that people don't think is a real word, right? Maybe things are back to normal and everything was just a dream somehow. That would never happen at the diner. But it isn't. I can see the telltale incarnations of the previous iterations of the diner all around. There's some stripper glitter there on the floor, a poker chip rolled under the table. I can see it, but everything else is just as it was. Place looks like a diner. Chef is behind the grill, merrily cooking away at some... he's making scrapple, I think. Or maybe he was making something very exotic and then realized he wasn't very good at it and just converted it to scrapple. Anything can be converted into scrapple. The guy who's down at the end of the counter always fast asleep is down at the end of the counter fast asleep. The breathy white people are in the back booth and you don't hear them because they all appear to be speaking in sign language. I don't know why, but they are. And it's unusual because they're using fingered gloves to speak sign language to get that sort of breathy, happy sound that they get. And they're all doing it at once, together. So I don't know what exactly the point is, but they appear to be happy and smiley and breathy and white, as is their wont. No, everything's back to normal. It should be good. It is. And I'm happy. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the diner. I'm James Lilings. I'm seated at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern Formica counter out here at the old diner on Highway 18 and a half, just 23 miles from wherever you happen to be at the minute. No, I'm just kidding, making sure you're paying attention. The diner, of course, is on Highway 23, 18 and a half miles from wherever you happen to be at the very moment, or 18 and a half minutes. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's been an extraordinarily long day, and I'm just a little bit plussed to walk in here, or nonplussed. Plussed, because people think that nonplussed is... How does that work again? Oh, good Lord. You know, one of these days, I'm just going to take some words and I'm going to tattoo them in the inside of my hand so that I can constantly refer to them. But is there a point, really? Because people think that nonplussed means plussed. People think that nonplussed means to be absolutely, completely, you know, not moved at all by the vagaries of life.
Vagaries?
And if you say plussed, people look at you curiously with an expression that's almost itself plussed. So just I'm going to strike that word from my vocabulary entirely. But I'm happy to be back, and I'm just wondering what is going on here, because the diner is normal, and it hasn't been normal for some time, especially since the new owners took over. Now, I shouldn't really call them the new owners. They had possession of the place for over a year now. And as we all know, possession is 9/10 of the law. What does that mean, exactly? We all said it as kids. We all said it with a great deal of authority, too. The magic words, the vaguely legal magic words we heard while walking past Perry Mason's show on TV one day and figured out we had some law on us. 9/10 is possession of the law. You know, if some kid stole my marbles, Jughead Jr. in 1942? Stole my Hot Wheels car, for example. Hey, that's my Hot Wheels car. Sorry. Possession is 9/10 of the law. Oh, my God, he's used legal language on us. There's nothing we can do. Except complain to Mom and make him give it back, because that doesn't work on moms. But for some reason, we believe that the whole possession is 9/10 of the law thing meant that you could steal something, and if you had it, you possessed it, then it was legally yours. Well, it doesn't work that way. Let's imagine, for example, a jewelry store robber. If I recall correctly, they come in two varieties. The urbane, tuxedo-wearing David Niven type, who breaks in at night by a variety of ingenious means, steals only one item, which is named and extraordinarily valuable, and hence, you know, completely unsellable, and leaves behind a taunting calling card, which usually gets in the Sûreté or Scotland Yard or something like that. And then on the other end, of course, you have the basic, cliché, generic jewelry thief who's got a striped shirt and is wearing a suit and a little hat and one of those little blue Beagle Boys masks over his face. Nobody can tell your identity if you've got one of those things. Oh, no. Hey, if you put Clark Kent glasses on somebody who's wearing a Beagle Boy mask, I mean, you'd be guaranteed to ever detect, to guaranteed to ever, you know, keep from being caught. You'd never make it past the lineup. Ma'am, is this the fellow who robbed your store? I don't know. Well, ma'am, you described a man who was 5'4", wearing a striped shirt and had a black suit on and a large wen on the left side of his cheek, and also a zigzag tattoo on his forehead. He's got Beagle Boy glasses and a mask on. I don't know. So anyway, if you were that person, and you'd stolen something and you had been caught red-handed, you would not. There's another one. Where's that? Another thing we said as a child, not knowing quite exactly what it meant, to be caught red-handed. There's no actual incrimsoning of the digits that goes on when you are apprehended by the police. If anything goes red, it's your face. Now, I would understand the phrase if it had arisen in the language after the invention of the exploding dye pack. But then, of course, it would be a bit more general. You'd be red-faced and torsoed, wouldn't you be? Well, we caught the man red interior of the card with the goods. No, so red-handed has to mean something else. Some shame that occurs to the individual mitt. So, anyway, good Lord. I am droning on and on, aren't I? If you are a bandit, either urbane or Beagle Boy style, and you are caught red-handed, you can't then say to the police, well, they're mine, and possession being 9/10 of the law, what are you going to do about it? The policeman will, of course, correctly point out to you that what that phrase really means is that you being in possession of the stolen goods actually means that that's 90% of the case against you. So that's it. Now, you could say that the diner's new management, that their ownership of the diner is 90% of the case against them. See how I did that? How I got looped around back to that? Because of the things that they've done since they got here. And let me just recoup. I'm sorry, I mean recount. Normalty has me plussed here. The diner... Interesting. Going on outside... The new management attempted to get some money by turning it into a casino, and that didn't work. And then they opened up a strip joint, and that didn't work. And then they turned it into a newspaper a couple of weeks ago. I don't know what they were thinking about that. They must have sold it or something or other to somebody, because that's all gone. There's not the guys sitting around with their shirt sleeves rolled up and their big thick ties loosely knotted around their neck consulting the office bottle while they yell copy boy and put out the daily sheet. Now it's just back to a regular old diner again. What are those trucks doing? Here's a truck. They're moving around to the back of the diner. Interesting. Oh. Well, maybe they're going to dump garbage in Lake Lilac or something like that. Maybe they turn the place into a toxic waste dump or something. I don't know. Anything to wring a buck out of the joint. As if selling hamburgers isn't enough. That's what's the matter with this country, you know? We've outsourced our hamburger selling to Asia, and all we do is dump garbage on ourselves. You order a burger nowadays, and it's some guy in Bangalore who makes it and then ships it to you. And by the time you get it, it's all cold, and the lettuce is wilting. And anyway, well, let's see what the jukebox has to offer. Let's check it here. It's been a while. I have no idea what the fellow who stocks the jukebox has stocked it with. So let's go blindly and randomly to our old, dependable friend, A1. This town belongs to you. The tricks of confidence, all the pavements and miles around the lips of the beautiful friends. Now every guy like that poster seems to be wearing your perfume. The clock struck the letters of your name. Fault and moan them again. Can you draw my tongue? Did you know, I've never said this before, but Elvis Costello just made me hungry. True, I don't think I've had anything to eat at all today, which is very rare. Usually I have a very standard regimen of what I consume, right down to the lunch that never varies. And I can see the capital letters in that phrase as I say it, the lunch that never varies. That's not quite entirely true. Sometimes the inedible bread, and oh, this stuff is horrible. I get the double fiber bread. Double fiber, that's right, for digestive health. I tell you, you feed this stuff to a dog, and you would have to take a bolt cutter to his stool when he attempts to leave it. Well, I apologize for that image, but anyway, you get the point. I'm hungry because I did not have the lunch that never varies. I did not have the double fiber bread. I did not have the peanut butter with the sugar-free jelly. I didn't even have my occasional variant, which is some lunch meat, lovingly spattered with horseradish. No, I skipped lunch today, which is why I'm starved. What to have? Well, there's only one thing I possibly can have, and that's the diner's famous butter burger. Oh, it's not only cooked in butter, it's got butter in it. It's got a melted core of butter in it. It's got butter sauce on top, and the buns. The buns are put on the grill. But what do they put on the grill before they put the buns on the grill? That's right, they put on butter. So it's just delicious. We call it the ticker stopper. And it's been a while since I've had one, so...
One ticker stopper down here? Yeah, well, of course, whole wheat.
Don't want to be too harmful to the health. I think the 7 grains will counteract the butter. Or is it... I've seen 12 grain... Have you seen 12-grain bread? I've seen 12-grain bread. Apparently some new innovation in milling techniques has allowed them to upgrade the amount of grain in your bread. I still have no idea what it means. You know, it could be 20 mule team grain bread, and I would still think, that's got to be healthy for you. All right. Well, usually have them ready to go, so it should come up quite quickly. In the meantime, though, however, that Elvis song was rather brisk, and I made the mistake of speaking over it. Sorry, Declan Patrick McManus, my former favorite songwriter. Let's see what else we can find here. Oh, it's the 70s. Welcome to hell. Bring your own platform shoes.
Once I said I want a shoe, I don't remember why. I only know it's long ago. You said I love you too. But I got one solution left. We're gonna start anew.
How do you do? I thought, why not? Na-na-na-na. Just me and you.
Yes.
And then we can na-na-na-na.
Oh.
Just like
na-na-na-na.
Before.
Being.
And you will say na-na-na-na.
Not a euphemism for sex.
Me more.
Why didn't
you
say so, young lady?
Na-na-na-na. Hey, that's what I'm living for.
How do you do? I thought, why not? Na 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 na, just me and you, and then we can na 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 na, just like before. And you will say na 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 na, please give me more. And you will say na 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 na.
Hey, my ticker stopper's here. Looks good. All right. First things first. Get the ketchup. The squeeze, please, bottle. A little ketchup. I like a lot of ketchup, actually. Then the mustard. I'm one of those guys who does the mustard in concentric circles. Sort of my homage to Spiral Jetty. Not Spiral Shetty. Spiral Jetty, the famous installation artwork. Never mind. A lot of pepper. No salt. You don't put salt on a hamburger. The salt goes on the French fries. Yeah. Look at that thing. Glistening in the light. It's about 6 inches tall. It's a thing of beauty. I don't know when the last time I had a ticker stopper was. If you'll excuse me. I'm going to take my first bite.
Oh,
my God. Oh, that's ketchup. Oh. 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 Oh, I busted a tooth. Hold on a second here. I mean, it'd be disgusting, but I have to palpate the augers, so to speak. Sort of. Life as a modern life is like. In the olden days, ouch. Soon people would just know that they broke a tooth. No, me, I got a path through the bolus here of half-bitten burger. Yeah, there it is. Oh, there's none of. That must have been the bone chip. There's a bone chip in this thing. There's a bone chip, and I bit right down on it, hard. Must have been a stressed molar. Oh! Oh! I can understand why I was stressed. I mean, it's been pounding stuff for almost half a century, but still. Whoa. They weren't meant to last this long, were they? We were supposed to die when we were 35 years old with a good set of teeth. Not anymore. Oh, man. Oh, ow, ow. It hurts to talk. Oh, it hurts to talk because my tongue keeps rubbing up against it. I have to learn a new way of speaking. Oh. Okay. Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm going to have to go to the dentist for this. I'm going to have to go to the dentist. Let me just put something in the jukebox here while the pain subsides temporarily, which, of course, we know it's not going to, because, you know, there's one thing you can say about teeth. They're not exactly self-healing mechanisms. This is D4.
Oh! 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 Hurts your mouth. Oh! Hurts your mouth. Little baby, don't you cry. Mama gonna count down by.
Well, as my friend Jeremy the Dark Chef once said, ignore your teeth, then they'll go away. I think he meant something different by that, though. Oh, Boy, you know, it's a lot of... It's not unusual to have a dislike of the dentist. A lot of people do. A lot of people have different reasons for it. I guess some people are afraid of the pain, such as there is. I understand that they've gotten quite good at pain management these days. And you got to wonder, when you go back and look at all those old signs from the Old West, you know, when they said painless dentistry. Obviously, there wasn't truth in advertising going on at the time, because I imagine that most of the chairs in the dentist's office had the fingers dug, the impressions of fingers dug very, very deeply into them. What do they have? Do they have Novocaine then? I think they just had bourbon. And they didn't even inject it directly into the spot they were operating on. Oh, man, those poor people. If it's not the pain, it's just the whole thing of it, you know? It's the sitting there, not being able to move, immobile, while some strange fellow or person you only see once or twice a year stands over you with their hands in your mouth, poking your tender gums with pointy, sharp metal things. I mean, metal against the teeth is just... one thing, but pointy metal against the teeth is another thing entirely. Oh, my. Again with more trucks. What is it with the trucks pulling in all of a sudden? Where are they going? I'm going around back. Ugh. Anyway, the pain. Ooh, the squeaking is... vibrations from the trucks is even hurting. Ouch. Right. Didn't notice that. Came in today. There's a wooden structure out front. Men seem to be working on. Trucks are bringing in more supplies for it. Oh. Anyway, saying... the intimacy of it, of having somebody there. I remember reading a book by Philip Roth. Was it The Counter Life? I don't know. Probably it was the last Philip Roth book I read, where the hero, the thinly disguised version of Mr. Roth, himself, Nathan Zuckerman. Oh, ow, man, that one hurts. Don't say Zuckerman. Should be pretty easy to avoid if I discuss, just avoid, you know, Philip Roth books or the names of the guys who were involved in the airplane movie. Of course, he's just Zucker. Let's try out Zucker. Oh, Zucker hurts too. Ooh. Ooh, it's a good thing I'm not a romance language speaker who likes to order sugar all the time. Anyway, in this book, Nathan Roth had fallen on a tombstone and broken all of his teeth. It was highly symbolic because he thought the tombstone was Anne Frank's or something. Long story. Actually, rather short book, if I remember, but it's just long and a bit contrived, if you will. And in it, he wrote about how it... that the mouth was the most intimate part of the body, and that having, you know, teeth fixed was a very violating sort of thing. And I remember telling that to a friend of mine, that insight, as I thought it was. For some reason, she disagreed. She didn't think that was the case. I never figure out why. Well, I think the thing to do is to just keep my mouth off of it, keep my mind off of it. If I can find some healing, sensitive, calming songs to play on the radio here in the jukebox here. Let's see, Cheap Trick, Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, nothing calming. Well then, I guess this should be the moment where we break. For a word from our sponsor.
Snap. Ow! What a happy sound. Snap is the happiest sound I've found. You may clap, rap, clap, slap, but snap makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies. I say it's crackle, the crispy sound. You gotta have crackle or the clock's not wound. Geese cackle, feathers tickle, belts buckle, beats pickle, but crackle makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies. I insist that pop's the sound. The best is missed unless pop's around. You can't stop hopping when the cereal's popping. Pop makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies.
Krispies. Kellogg's best to you.
Ultra Bright gets you noticed. Take Cindy. For 3 weeks, Cindy had flown with Captain Jim Sinclair, but Jim thought Cindy was strictly coffee, tea, or milk. Then Cindy discovered Ultra Bright. Ultra Bright White, Dynamite White, Dynamite Fresh. It got her noticed. That night, Cindy and Jim took off together. Her feet haven't touched the ground since. Fly new Ultra Bright for a smile so white it gets you noticed.
Yeah, her feet haven't touched the ground because her molar exploded and she's been in a dentist chair for a fortnight. Oh, I just need to be calm. That's it. It'll be fine. They'll give you some Novocaine, a little sleep pill, and off I go. And then they'll fix the tooth. What's the name of my dentist again? All right. Zuckerman. Ow. 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 Well, that's interesting. Guys outside are setting something up. They've loaded a whole bunch of stuff off the trucks now, and they've put something together. Kind of a... It's like a wooden pyramid. Just a framework of a wooden pyramid. There's a pipe in the middle. It goes down into the earth. I've seen one of those somewhere. Old pictures. Oh well. Okay. Starting to take my mind off the pain. As long as I don't think about the dentist, I'll be fine. As long as I don't think about the dentist, I'll be fine. The guy's turn. I see him turning on some kind of motor. My God, I recognize that thing now. Now I know why the diner's the same. Now I know why they dumped the idea of making it a newspaper. I know why they don't particularly care that they lost money as a casino. Now I know why they didn't bother to try to make another go of it as a strip club. There's another reason that they wanted the diner all along, and now they've just proved it. And that's why they've set up that stuff there. They're drilling for oil. The diner is sitting on top of oil. And they're drilling! Okay. I'm gonna have to call Dr. Z. It's a good thing that my iPhone doesn't have voice-activated dialing, or I would have had to pronounce the entire name, and that's pretty painful. Ah, well, I'll be better by the next time we meet. I have no doubt about it. I'll have a crown. Of course, uneasy is the head that wears the crown, but that's not really true. Red-handed? Doesn't make sense. 9/10 of the law? Well, I'm in possession of 9/10 of the tooth, so I got that going for me. But very easy will be the head that wears the crown, I believe. Thanks for dropping by the diner, folks. I'm James Lilex, and this has been The Diner for Friday, April 20. What is it? 25th. That's right, 2008. They're going to dope me up aplenty, and then I'll see you down the road.